Darren Dreger is in studio. What's up, Dregs?
Yeah, you know, just another beautiful day in Ontario. No complaints.
It is a beautiful day in Ontario. You're right.
It's got that little fall feel to it.
A bit.
Cooling down a little bit today.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
It's getting hot again, though, tomorrow, I think. Did I see 29 thunder showers?
I'll take it, man. Embrace it while you can. In a month, we'll be complaining. And it feels like hockey weather, and hockey's off and running. And the Leafs, they played last night, as we know. They won. The outcome is irrelevant. It's preseason, but Tavares looked real good. Marner looked real good.
Yeah.
Did he catch Babcock making sure that Hyman got a shout-out during the postgame presser?
Of course.
Like, he loves Hyman that much, doesn't he?
He loves him.
Yeah, and he should. I love Hyman. Everyone loves Hyman. But Babcock, he's not going to let these guys get too much publicity. Right?
No, he's not. And he's going to make sure guys like that are, at times, even overappreciated. I mean, as hockey fans, we can see what, you know, Zach Hyman brings to the team, or Connor Brown, in terms of the energy, the work ethic, all of those things. And that's what Babcock, he loves the Stars, of course, because they're game breakers. They can be the difference between a win and a loss. But you put a handful of Stars and the rest just meat and potatoes, energy guys, and Mike Babcock's a happy man.
Right, and that's pretty much what he has. I mean, Josh Levo, I don't know how to describe what type of player he is, but he looked pretty good last night. And
I'll tell you what, he looked like an NHL player. I don't know if he's going to play here or what, but he's playing in the NHL somewhere.
Well, and that's an important point. If it's not in Toronto, come on, guys, cut bait. You know, let this guy out of jail. Like, he's got an opportunity. You know, Nylander's not there, so everybody kind of moves up the rung of the ladder. And last night he's playing in a top six spot for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, you know, whether it's with the Leafs at a bargain at 900 and change, or he does enough in his time remaining in Toronto that he gets another look. There's all kinds of trade talk. You know, he was hopeful, I'm sure, that he was going to be traded, but things open up. And again, he's got an opportunity here to perhaps make the team on a full-time basis.
Well, would that be Babcock or Dubas making that call?
Like, on which?
On if Levo's making the team, if he's going to play.
If, like, he's going to be an extra, aren't you just putting him in the same situation he's been in for 3 years?
Yeah.
But, you look at, like, their depth beyond the NHL, there's not a ton of guys that you can look at and say, I know for sure that guy can be called upon if there's an injury. And then that being said, Josh Levo's played 41 games in 3 years, and it's clear Mike Babcock isn't a fan.
What I know, look, this is going to sound like I don't think Lou Lamoriello's a good guy, and I don't mean that at all. I think that Kyle Dubas has a deeper appreciation for the player moving forward, and certainly more flexibility to maybe do what's right by that player. You know, Josh Levo has been nothing but a good Toronto Maple Leaf in his time inside the organization. So, I mean, if he's not a fit at the NHL level, I can't imagine they don't at least try and find him a better home.
What about the defensive side of things, where that is a true battle, and Travis Dermott got banged up and he didn't practice today? I think he'll be okay. I'm sure he'll be there for opening night. But Igor Ozyganov made his debut last night. Babcock was complimenting his game post-game. Justin Hall, I thought, looked pretty comfortable. 27, won a Calder last year, came up for a couple of games with the Leafs. Connor Carrick is 24. He's been around for a while. Someone's got to play on that third pairing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone had Carrick, I think, penciled in, but I don't think that's a lock by any stretch.
No, I look at, I mean,
Odogunov.
Yeah. I mean, that was my intel coming into training camp was, keep in mind, again, Odogunov is a 26-year-old man. You know, he's not a developing player. Now, he's got to learn, you know, the North American, the NHL game, but he was the guy, I'm told, that the Leafs had penciled in. In pencil, not in pen, to say it's essentially his job, but he's going to have to earn it, and he's going to have to make his way. And I want to raise a caution flag, because last year at this time, and for how many games, Jonas, of the regular season, where we watched Borgman and we watched Rosen play, and, you know, it seemed likely because, you know, Babcock and the Maple Leafs had brought these guys off a scrap heap in Europe somewhere, that they had to find roles in the NHL, and just didn't work out that way. Now, Borgman's got, you know, some upside to him, I think, and Rosen we haven't probably seen the last of at the NHL level, but you got to be careful, and these players do need some time. So Ozyganov is the player that they'd like to see fit into that top six, but he's got to earn it.
Yeah, and what we've noticed the past couple of years, who's on the team and playing games in October will not will not necessarily be on the team in April. Right, like Travis Dermott, I thought he had a good camp last year. I just assumed he'd make the team, and they sent him down.
Yeah.
But obviously, they were planning on him continuing to grow and get some time in the American Hockey League, and eventually they called him up, and he
never
left.
Looks good to me.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe they do that with Ozganov.
Yeah.
You send him down, and he can go to the minors. You say, go play 20 games with the Marlies and figure out the North American game, and we'll call you up around Christmas time.
See, you know, the one thing that I get consistently from other NHL clubs, though, is the depth now of the organization in Toronto. And, you know, it's more of a cap issue now if you look into, you know, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner extending, and obviously Willie Nylander. You know, obviously there's going to be some tough decisions that have to be made moving forward. But if Toronto is in the early stages of a very good run, like Babcock likes to describe, man, they've got the assets, not just at the NHL level, but certainly with the Toronto Marlies. They could put a real sweet package together now for something that, as long as it fits in your cap, you know, whether it's this year or next year, whenever you feel like you're that team, you're ready to make a real run for it. They've got depth. I mean, we look at the goaltending, and there's no questioning Freddie Anderson, but you know what Spark's going to be, and at what point, you know, are you better suited to keep what you have in Curtis McIlhenny because he knows the role better than anyone of being a backup, and he gets along great with Freddie. Well, then what's the purpose of Sparks with the Marlies? I mean, there's got to be enough interest.
If he doesn't get a shot after last year, then he's not getting a shot here.
Oh, and which is fine.
And that
there's nothing wrong with that. But then package him with something that's going to bring something back that's going to make
you better. But goalies don't get you anything. Especially goalies who have no track record in the NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the question. What kind of market is out there?
There's got to be a need. You're right.
And if they're going to place him on waivers, why wouldn't you be like, I'll just pick him up off waivers?
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
If it's going to get to that point, if McIlhenny gets the job, then unless they keep three goalies, and I don't see
somebody
them
gets
that.
Hurt along the way, how do you know?
Yeah,
it's good to have depth in that position.
No, for sure. And they're going to need it. They're going to need it on the cheap too. You know, like you mentioned, Levo at 925. That what's significant about that is the 925. He can play and put up some numbers and look like an NHL. You need cheap players.
You do.
You're going to need them at some point because there's
especially moving forward.
Exactly, guys are going to get paid, right? Like Marner and Tavares.
We've talked about it. Like these guys need to figure out something like Pittsburgh does. Like you got to find a guy that just scores 25 goals.
Yeah,
that's coming from the minors
for
or
sure.
A Rust or a Sheary. Or you got to find these guys.
You have to.
Well, as for the Ottawa side of things, Mark Stone, I guess he was asked about a report today that he's going to want out, and he's going to want to leave, and he was...
I also heard a quote that he loves it there.
Well, that's what he said,
believe,
though. He responded by saying, I don't know where this is coming from, I don't even know who that guy is, and blah, 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 but...
I mean, the original tweet, I believe, was in French, originating with TVA in Quebec, and attributed to Louis Jean, who is a real good reporter. Now, you know, what happened... I don't know. I didn't talk to Louis, but you know, I did read his follow-up tweet, and he's asserting that it was taken out of context, and you know, the tweet was translated and effectively read to Mark Stone, and Mark Stone then responds to a media scrum saying, "I don't even know who Louis Jean is. You know, I love the time that I've spent in Ottawa. I'm most definitely, you know, looking forward to this, that, and the other thing." Extend. Look, what we know is, he's a pending unrestricted free agent, along with Matt Duchene. And I'm not challenging what Mark Stone said, because I don't have the information to challenge. What I know is the business side of the sport. Is Mark Stone willing to commit to an 8-year deal at whatever the number is going to be? And it's going to be a big number, provided he has the year that we believe he's going to have. And the first 3-4 years of that 8 years... are going to be blown out the door in a rebuild.
I can't see him wanting to do it. It's like, I want to make a lot of money. I want to be a pro hockey player, but I'm not doing that.
Well, what do you do if you don't have a sense that he's going to sign in January or February?
Well, you try to get your first-round pick back. That's plain and simple.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. Like, Ottawa just experienced this with Erik Karlsson. The difference being Karlsson, like Stone, had another year remaining on his contract. Ottawa traded Erik Karlsson because they did not believe that he was ever going to honestly want to extend his deal to stay in Ottawa. So they've got to get to that place. I don't know if it's relatively soon, but it's well in advance of the trade deadline, because Pierre Dorion does not want, I'm sure, doesn't want to go through all of this all over again. And Duchesne has to be lumped into that grouping as well.
Rex, don't you think if Pierre Dorion could hit the rewind button, as soon as Erik Karlsson made the comment with the talk of Drew Doughty, and he came out and said, I'm going to be paid, and I'm going to be paid what I'm worth, that was the beginning of the end. He should have been just moved from there. Because that was basically saying, I'm getting $11-12 million and these guys aren't going to pay it to me, so yeah, you figure it out.
And I believe Ottawa was willing to pay him $11 million. But again, when you're in the position that Erik Karlsson was in,
maybe
as a superstar
player, to leave
maybe, yeah, you know, look, maybe. And look, I always side with the players going into the final year of his contract, because you know what? Mark Stone has earned his position to make a decision. He's earned it. And if he wants to, you know, see what else is out there, because he wants to challenge for a Stanley Cup in the next couple, three, 4 years, rather than be part of a rebuild, he's getting the money anyway. I got no problem with that.
Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, in studio. The Habs are playing tonight, and I think Max Domi's making his debut as a center.
Yeah.
Did they not learn what Jonathan Drouin? Max Domi hasn't played center in 10 years.
Right. And now Drouin's on the wing. That's the beauty of it.
No kidding. So Drouin, it didn't work with him. Very similar type size, player, skill level. Why does Max Domi have to do that now?
Because they need somebody to play center.
And I get it. In the organization, if the guy brings you in your office and says, you want to try center, like your initial reaction is, no, I'm not a centerman. What are you doing? Get a centerman.
Right.
You saw it with Drouin. Why are you doing it with Domi?
Well, I don't think it's going to work,
no,
but they're so desperate. I mean, it speaks to just how weak they are up the middle of the ice. Their center ice is brutal.
The only thing I can imagine here is that Claude Julien and the coaching staff would have had a real heart-to-heart with Max Domi. And what's the player going to say? You know, to your point, if he'd been in the league a bit longer and was more confident with his role and all that, number one, it's the Montreal Canadiens. You know, a legendary organization in a city that turns rabid over hockey, good, bad, and otherwise. He doesn't want to do anything that is going to provide a negative wrinkle. So, you know, I would think that Julien likes lots of the elements of Max Domi's game. He's a pretty good skater, you know, usually pretty aggressive on the puck. You know, he's not afraid to get his nose dirty. Maybe he sees those elements and goes, yeah, he's got a lot of qualities of a center iceman. So let's at least see if he's willing to try it. Otherwise, you know, he's putting him in a real tough spot.
Yeah.
He's putting him in a tough spot.
They just acquired him. It's Drouin 2.0. That's what it is. It's a shot in the dark. It's a guy who you think, I mean, maybe he's got the skill set. Maybe he's got the ability. And I don't know. Maybe he shocks the world. We'll see. But I think it just amplifies the issue that has been prevalent in Montreal for a number of years. They just don't have options.
Not really.
The center ice position is brutal. Like, I look at that team on paper, they look terrible to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see Ottawa. We goof on Ottawa. It's easy to goof on Ottawa. Outside of Carey Price, Montreal doesn't look much better to me.
Yeah.
They don't. They look terrible to me.
They've got players now that can skate. So maybe that's going
to mask some
of
the
issues.
Yeah. But, I mean, with Weber, a healthy Weber, that changes things, but he's not healthy.
No.
He's not going to play until December or January.
Yeah, and is Carey Price healthy? I mean, we're not going to know that until we've seen him, you know, get through a quarter of the games of the season.
Right. And that, you talk about pressure on a player.
Yeah. I mean, Tony Marinara did that interview with Bergevin the other day.
I didn't hear it.
No, it was good. I mean, it was. There's lots of information in there, but one thing that was interesting for me was Bergevin using the rewords, not rebuild, refresh, restart,
right,
but staying away. Well, you can't rebuild when you've got, you know, still one of the best goaltenders in the league. Maybe if Carey doesn't play to his level this year, we start to question that, but
what won't change is he's the highest paid goalie in the league.
Right.
$10.5 million
per
starting.
That's going to stay for a while.
This year.
If you put him on the market, how many teams would call?
Oh!
Edmonton Oilers.
St. Louis probably would try and find a way, although
so you think there'd be like a
Colorado Avalanche.
So, like, more than five, maybe?
Absolutely. It's the best goalie in the world.
But he's on a contract that goes until
2025?
I think this year, though, Jonas, I know where you're going. And look, the reputation of Carey Price.
Calgary Flames, Vancouver Canucks.
There are a number of teams, just by virtue of reputation and history, statistically, would take a run at him. I think if he has a healthy year, then who knows? Because don't forget... You know, and I'm talking a bit about this on Insider Trading tonight, but, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. I don't get the sense that he's in love with the idea of staying in Columbus, and we know Artemi Panarin doesn't want to stay in Columbus. I mean, there's two pretty juicy UFAs. You know, the goalie market, somebody's taking a hard run at him.
Mm-hmm. Well, imagine somebody do the old Parise-Suter deal. With them. Like, we're getting both of you guys. That's the way you roll with that one. We're not getting one. We want both of you.
East Coast or West Coast, and I don't get the sense that there's a whole lot of wiggle room in between.
How about this Jake Dotchin character who shows up in Tampa for physicals, and he's 30 pounds overweight, and allegedly or reportedly 25% body fat. I'm pretty sure I have like 20%, and I'm a slob.
How does this guy? You'd be a bit higher.
I'm not.
You're being critical. No,
you're being critical.
I'm not.
It's fine.
Hey, I lump myself into that category, man.
Right.
Outside of Jonas, I feel like I would be 25%.
Okay, let's say we are 25%, and I'll give you that. The fact that we are in the same boat as this guy, who's a kid who has proven nothing in the NHL, it speaks to why Tampa said, "Get the hell out."
You know what scares me about this? It scares me because I wonder if there's something going
on. This.
I wonder if there's something going on that we don't know about
in his personal life.
What contributes to an NHL player who hasn't proven, as you just said, Brian, anything that he can be a full-time guy? How does a kid like that take an entire summer off and gain 25 to 30 pounds? I'm worried that there's something going on that we don't know about, and that's why I'm careful as to how critical I am.
I think you're right. I mean, for his career, there's got to be an explanation. You know, he's got to be able to explain it if he wants to continue to play. And maybe this is him reaching out saying, I don't really want to be a pro player. You know, like, I'm under contract and there's some pressure and I've got to show up, but based on what I'm proving to you, I don't really want to play. But if he wants to continue his career, he's got to have an explanation. You can't show up 30 pounds overweight. Like, that's... He's 25%.
What's the worst you ever came to camp?
Don't worry about me, Jonas. Why don't you contribute to the
I am right
show
now.
For once.
I remember a story, and we're not going to be specific to the pounds, because it doesn't really matter. And it wasn't anywhere near 25 or 30. Well, maybe it was...
It was in the ballpark.
Yeah. Where, and correct me if I'm wrong, did Paul Maurice not pull you aside at one point and said,
he said if Nick Antropov wasn't injured, we would have cut loose.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, then I started playing really good the next day, and he was like, you're playing great, you're playing great. And I'm like, exactly, so shut up and leave me alone, loser.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Something must be up here, though. I'm with you. Something doesn't make sense.
Well, and look,
30 pounds
or not, because again, when's the last time any team in the NHL, but in this case, a highly respected team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, turn their back on any player, let alone a young guy? Like,
yeah.
You know, when you go to the lengths of waiving a player to terminate his contract and the specifics of why get out that quickly, it's got to be bad.
That's the counter to it, where these guys, they have hearts, they have souls. If he went to them and said, listen, I'm telling you, I had this, that, or the other going on, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I think they'd be like, okay, we're sending you to the minors. Maybe you're going there anyway. But, like, cut and see you later. That is a message. It is. All right, Dregs, good seeing you, man.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
There's Darren Dregs.